Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is the legendary, the life of the legendary Hank Williams. Not Hank Williams Jr., Brandy, but Hank Williams himself.
Wow.
The real deal, Timmy. The real deal.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy, if any?
I have none, and Lucy has none either.
Well, he lived he's considered the father of modern country music, but he died way, way too soon. So we're going to talk about his life, but before we do, let me remind all of our listeners, the few that are still
because it's been a while. It's been
that
a while.
It has been a while. But you know, Brandy, the funny thing, Brandy, is it seems like we record all the time, but it's been a while since
we have a lot of our we have some technical
have
issues
released. Well,
yes.
Let's hope this one sees the light of day.
This is a fresh start, Timmy. A new beginning, an era of new technology. We have in it.
Fresh start sounds like some kind of feminine fresh start product to me, but yeah, I don't know what there is, Brandy, about all these feminine products, but. They confuse me, Colonel.
They confuse me, too.
Well, they're not
they
for you.
They confuse me, too.
So, still not for you. So, I don't
even understand that whole, the whole douching
process. The whole what process, Timmy?
El Duce? That's what they call it.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. You don't understand the process?
I don't understand that whole process, no. I mean, I get it in theory, I'm sure there's some parts that I'm, you know, I find it hard to get to A to C. You know what
well,
I'm
here's,
about? I mean, like, I
here's
the
thing maybe you could explain to me, Devil. I've always been a wee bit confused by, is that women say, well, you know, I'm not smelling so fresh down there, right? So what I'm going to do to make this place on my body smell better, I am going to fill it with vinegar.
Yeah, maybe the vinegar part.
It seems like, where is the starting point here? The vinegar is the improvement.
I get that, Brandy. I get that it's a vagina shower. I mean, I get that. But, yeah, that whole vinegar thing throws me off, too, because...
Well, no, like it's one of those things that makes your eyes water and everything else. And so that's my question.
I mean, put some bleach, you know what I mean?
Sandblast it, do whatever. But vinegar is an improvement? Not really sure how that works to me. I guess that's what I always wonder. What is your starting point?
Women are mysteries, Colonel.
They're enigmas. They're
mysteries. Yeah, they really are.
First of all, the two of you are acting like you don't have access to Google. So,
before we go on further, let me remind everyone we're a comedy podcast, and sometimes we talk about adult subject matter. I guess I should have did that like a couple minutes ago.
But. Well, you're already deep into it now, Timmy. You're deep into it.
so Brandy, would you maybe like, you think we could, like at DweebCon, have a symposium on that whole process, call in some experts? And because, you know, let's face it, a lot of our male listeners are not that smart. So I'm sure they could benefit from it.
What is happening? Look, when I, you know, Chuck can do that, is fine. But what I'm going to tell you is that when you have a problem down there, you know, a lot of time there's, you know, bacteria and there's all this other stuff, and the vinegar the vinegar helps clear out some of that harmful bacteria that's up there, allegedly.
But
I would also like to say, not bleach, that would burn. Did you just say fucking bleach? Jesus Christ, dude. What the hell?
What else is going to kill the coochie?
Saw that problem, and it would make it smell better.
Well, yeah. You know what? If I just inject it in my veins, I'll never get COVID. Or, yes, so, you know,
but in all fairness, that's true.
And let me state for the record that it is not healthy to do that. Your system down there is a self-cleaning oven. So just saying.
Do they sell, devil, you know, sometimes your intestinal gut flora becomes disrupted and you take probiotics, right? Do they sell like vag biotics? Okay. Something that you could just take to keep Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, you can get some over the counter stuff that will antifungal,
antibacterial sort of thing.
I don't think it's called that. I don't know. You know, off the top of my head.
I call it crotch rot.
Well, it's vaginal degeneration. Which brings us to Timmy.
Athlete's vagina.
Timmy,
That's what it is.
We got a new sponsor this week. Big Al's. Body Shop.
Remember Bob had Bob's signs or paint company? He did, but now this week
we got a new one, and it's Bob's Body Shop and Vaginal Rejuvenation Center.
Oh, my God.
Because think of it, Timmy.
One-stop shopping.
It's perfect marketing because generally who's backing into things, wrecking the cost? You know, it's a female demographic. So then they bring it in, they get an estimate, and they say, and I can get it fixed down there. Not only are you going to fix my bumpers, you know, metaphorically. And he does do lifts if you got a little sag on the things there. So we just welcome Big Al's Body Shop and Vaginal Rejuvenation Center, Timmy.
Did Bob sell? Because you called it Bob's a minute ago. Did he sell?
No, Bob was our first one. Bob and Al are brothers, so it depends on who you get that day.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Let's get some merch from them.
Yeah, we need some.
I want merch from those people.
I like the motto, you can get your oil change while you get your oil change, girl.
Right, Demi. Very good. Very good.
Jesus.
We're on a roll, Brandy. I haven't even got to introductions yet.
I know. Can we do that?
Well, let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm actually really good, Timmy. I'm really, really good. I'm in a great mood.
For the whole vinegar conversation.
I'm still in a good mood. Your guys' ignorance is not going to make me have a bad day today.
Well, I'm glad of that, Brandy, because, you know, Brandy's not happy.
So you got up this morning and put on your ignorance underwear.
Something like
Brandy.
That.
Devil, our ignorance just bounces right off you, is what you're saying.
Oh, my gosh. It just bounces right off. I'm going to
take those to Target with you.
despite the two of you.
Well, we're going to see if we can't change.
I was young Noah.
Timmy, I take that as a challenge, Devil.
I give us 5 minutes, but
how is Noah? Noah is fine. Noah's fine. He's good.
Has he stopped?
Everybody's
his,
good.
Has he given up his? I haven't seen him on any TikTok videos where he's getting taken off the plane lately. Is he done with his anti? Or
is he still wearing a mask? Is he still wearing his mask?
You know, yes. Yeah, he does. And let me also just say that, you know, the protest on the plane, I just quit giving him his allowance, so he can't buy a ticket to get on. So, you know.
He's sitting below the belt. I mean, how is he going to play?
Those days are over.
How's he going to play Call of Duty?
Well, I mean, when he's walking home from school and all the other kids got the gummy worms and night. Noah's just going to be eating cheap candy that, see, here's what you're doing, Devil. And when
I don't know
when
what
Noah's walking home
from
school, he
right
goes
now.
Into the little convenience store, and you've cut off his allowance. And Noah's going to want his gummy worms or whatever, you know, his Red Bull to keep his YouTube channel going because he's got to record that night. And he shoplifts. That's on you, Devil, because you took his money.
It is on
okay.
You. Definitely on you.
Let me say this, and Lucy's entered the chat.
Lucy agrees with us.
Yeah, well, let me also say this. Noah gets dropped off the bus basically at my front door. There's no bodega from here to there. So, I mean, he's pretty safe. And he doesn't like gummy worms or Red Bull. So
now I hope you're giving them age-appropriate gummy worms.
What is an allowance these days?
I don't think that's any of your business.
Noah's age?
Room and board.
Okay, well, so he's sleeping out in the backyard now? You took away his allowance?
I mean, you know, parents, you know, they always throw that up, don't they? Brandy? I mean, Colonel, don't they always throw up, they're paying for your room and board? I mean,
what?
It's kind of like the whole idea of being a parent.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, I used to always tell my boys that they were arguing one time over something that was theirs and, you know, who it belonged to, as boys are wont to do. And I had to stop them and I said, you know, boys, take a look around. Everything in your purview is mine.
Everything the light touches, I am the river that all life
springs from in this domain. And the only thing in this house...
I'm impressed with your flowery language.
The only thing in this house that you get to keep is whatever dreams you have.
So fancy.
Nothing more. Nothing more belongs to you. Just your dreams.
They are chattel.
Basically.
You're true.
Yes. So, but I'm sorry. Am I interrupting Brandy time or are we finished with it, Timmy?
Well,
kind of
you know,
drug
people
on,
are not
it feels like
brandy time, so it's okay.
I don't care.
That's usually when we see a drop in our, you know, if you're looking at the stats right around brandy time. Picks up once I introduce the colonel, but. Well, Brandy, so Noah is okay. He's doing well.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Well,
everybody's great.
We never ask, it seems like we never ask about David.
Wait a minute.
Because David is. I mean, basically the trophy husband that you landed.
Dave, let me tell you something.
We're not sure. I mean, it's obviously Dave.
Well,
has
Dave
a big
is
card,
the
obviously.
Lanny placeholder. Basically, we know that. I mean, just
filling
space.
Oh my gosh!
But
you know what? I want to give Dave credit right now, and I don't normally do that.
Dave stepped it up, being a supportive man.
But
I don't think you've ever done it. Have you?
No. I can't recall.
So I resigned from my job this week, and I don't have another job because I was sort of forced to resign from my job. And my husband has been But my husband has been nothing but supportive and wonderful. And I know he's freaking out, and he's kept me calm. And I want to give him all the credit for that. So he's been amazing. And so it's been so It's been wonderful. Because if he'd have freaked out, so I would have freaked out.
Whoa.
Well, so now we're that Dave is supportive.
Well, I think Dave has probably been supportive for quite some time. He's just not been recognized for said support. And maybe you will see Dave in a new light. Maybe you will see, because I've met Dave a number of times. I don't know. I see no imperfections in Dave.
Well, that's true. And with Dave, when you're in a room with Dave, so paint a picture for our listeners. It's like the clouds part and sunbeams.
Well, let me paint a bigger picture, a more clear picture for you, Timmy.
And he has little bluebirds singing over.
As the door opens, Timmy, and a man walks through with a pair of work jeans and whatever T-shirt and a pair of suspenders, Dave's trademark look. Then the clouds part, and the sun breaks through, Timmy.
Larry King copied it from him.
Yeah, Larry King saw Dave one day, and he's like, yeah, that works. Actually, when they made the movie Wall Street, Timmy, Gordon Gekko saw Dave, and he's like,
oh, yeah. That guy's got a lot of tail. I'm going to emulate him.
I'm sure he will.
I've worn suspenders before.
I've never done it.
I'm sure every little boy has.
I did it
at some point.
I thought because the boys got into wearing them, and I got a pair, and you know they clip on the back of your pants, but you know when you try to snug them up and tighten everything down, and that clip comes loose and hits you in the back of the head, you're just done with suspenders, Timmy. It's just belts for me.
I thought he was going to say he couldn't get the little clip between his ass and the jeans. Yeah. They were so tight.
You know, I was...
Because they were skinny.
Well, Brandy, what? You know, all of... Chuck and I, as well as all of our listeners, love you. And we're here for you. And we're sorry that, you know, that you you resigned. But, you know, better days are ahead.
You know, I'm not sorry for you, Devil. Sorry for you because...
I wouldn't depend on Patreon to keep you alive, but...
Well... Here, you want the best part? Chuck, tell him the best part. Why did I have to resign?
Because she was mean to me.
Yep.
She was mean to me, Timmy. I'm not sorry for you because your life is going
to
be better.
Our show?
She was mean to me.
That is a true statement.
So, Brandy, how are you feeling now? And what plans do you have in the future, if any?
So, well, I have an interview Monday, so I'm kind of going to see how that goes and if it coincides with what I want to do.
I would take, if I were you, I don't know what kind of job it is, but I would take a couple clips of the history leaves. Maybe the decaying vagina episode.
Oh, yeah. The popcorn episode. Yeah. But, so I've got that, and other than that, My new Lego game my new Lego game came to the house, so I'm going to be playing that.
Are you doing the Titanic? Because Leanne and I went shopping the other day and we saw the Lego Titanic.
No.
My Lego game on the PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah.
Video. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I know.
By the way,
there's a Lego. There's a Lego store.
There's a Lego shop in Kenwood Mall. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know Lego was such a big thing.
Can I just say,
oh my gosh, yes,
just
it
for
is,
the record,
but...
that and I can't be the only one thinking this, there are a lot of men out there who have heard us talk, this conversation, whose butts, whose sphincters have tightened just a wee bit, thinking about the devil having free time on her hands.
I'm just thinking about Dr.
Evil. She's going to get a hairless cat. There's going to be a little mini devil.
And oh.
She's probably stocking up on iron.
Yeah. I'm just thinking this is the devil.
I want an otter.
You know what they say about idle hands and the devil?
I love otters. They are so cool.
Oh, there's the whistle, Timmy. There's the bell. I think it's kernel time.
Yep. Let's do that, because I don't want Chuck to get upset for me picking on him.
He is known as a man of God, Brandy.
Nope.
He is considered a prophet by many.
No.
He is someone we can turn to in these troubled times of plagues and wars and other conflicts.
Warren Jeffs was a prophet.
Who?
Warren Jeffs, or that guy from Waco, David Koresh. They were prophets.
Yeah, I would like
Chuck a prophet like that.
Yes. You could start a cult, devil.
You know, Team Colonel is it.
Call me.
Pretty much.
You think I've not started that?
He is a man. He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair, Brandy.
By no one. By no one.
He's a best-selling author. You may have read his book, How to Make Love to a Woman.
Nobody's read it.
I believe it's like 86 straight weeks in the
84, Timmy. I don't want to inflate my accomplishments. 84.
Okay. 84 weeks. The very honorable, the Reverend. He's a man of God. Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today,
Colonel? I'm not good, Timmy.
I'm burdening yourself with
well,
this, Colonel.
Well, Timmy, I'm a young man, relatively, but I don't get treated like one.
No, you're not.
And I'm going to give you an example. Yesterday, me and my youngest boy, Logan, decided to go shopping.
So
and we
old.
Was up in your neck of the woods, devil, with outlet malls. And we go to the van store.
I know.
The gym shoe store. And we're getting ready to check out. And, you know, there's a long line there, a bunch of cashiers. And I go to pull out my debit card, my check card, to pay for everything. And something falls out of my wallet and hits the floor. And it is my ARP card.
Is it the
It was my
code?
ARP card, Timmy. My ARP
card. Oh, your ARP
card. And...
Did they take that there?
Now, do you have the super, you know, like...
No, I just got the standard,
where,
the
you know,
standard that I got the free
for
bag for.
25
so,
years.
So I look at Logan and I'm like, oh. And Logan, you know, being the dutiful son that he is, leans down and picks it up and hands it to me. And I said, well, that's...
Well, he can bend over. That's...
Well, that's what he said. I said, you know, it's a little humiliating having your ARP card fall out in front of everyone. And we're standing right at the cashier line, and, you know, they have the long rows of six cashiers and people behind you.
Right,
and Logan
right.
said, yes, I guess it is, Dad. And it's even worse when you're so old and fucked up you can't bend over and pick it up yourself. And then I bought my van gym shoes and walked to my car in shame.
Kids, Colonel, say
they
the
do. And
thing,
I thought it was kind of rude, yeah. except the people in line and the cashiers all laughed at me. They laughed at me, Timmy. So.
Completing your humiliation.
But I got a pair of new Vans, the old school ones, so I believe that should take 10 years off my look, Timmy.
Of course. It won't, because your hair is not going to cooperate with that.
Well, I'm going to start getting some thickening mousse.
You can get some plugs.
No, not the plugs. I seen on
mousse.
Arrested Development when Tobias got plugs, and it did not seem pleasant.
That's so. True. I don't know. They look
pretty
good.
I might.
Colonel, I would like for you to join me and all of our male listeners, well, female listeners too, if they'd like. And we are going to do the half mustache.
Damn right,
challenge.
We are. I'm going to go further, Timmy. I'm doing the half beard challenge, Timmy.
Nice. And all the proceeds that we take in will go to people who, for no fault of their own, only have half a beard or half a mustache. It's a show
the beardless
support,
people,
Randy.
Timmy. It's basically Live Aid for the beardless is what we're going to do, Timmy.
Yeah. Brandy, your thoughts on that, if at all, if any?
I think that's amazing. Absolutely. I look forward to seeing the two of you participate.
Wonder if we could get Queen.
Well, you know, you can, if you
to show up. Well, they really blew away Live Aid, so I wonder if we could get them back together.
I bet Willie Nelson will
show up to anything. Really, if you're really having a barbecue or, you know, something going on at the local library, if you ask Willie, Willie will show up. He don't care.
Playing some cornhole in your backyard. Just like,
but you know what, though? But he'll show up, which makes your event 10,000 times cooler.
You know, the thing about Willie is...
Just saying.
The son of a bitch, he's close to 90 years old, right? And he has looked the same since I have seen Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get him... And,
yeah, no, he's and, looked...
No, some of his old photographs where he had short
hair. Yeah, but that was back in way back in the 50s.
Well,
yeah, like the,
but
the
dude,
50s,
he's looked like an old leather purse for quite a while. I love
him.
Well,
you know the thing
I
about here's
him.
The thing about Willie Nelson.
So
now,
much.
We will
he has
say,
no stress.
I will
He'll
agree
live forever.
To this point, right? I believe that if
well, he had stress because he'll
know. No, he fixed that. He fixed that. He made the IRS album. But
well, I know, but yeah. I mean, he went through a real
difficult
time
with
that.
But if you were going to say, if we're going to, I said this the other day, if we're going to elect celebrities president, why don't we just pick Dolly Parton?
He's the one you start
Dolly
with.
Parton.
Him and Dolly
okay?
Parton. Yeah.
Oh,
but
Dolly
every,
Parton.
But you know what I feel like? The Willie does not get the love that he deserves, because to me, Willie's on the level with Dolly Parton. He's right up there, except for the stoned all the time part.
You know,
Dolly's not that, but
I saw Willie Nelson in concert maybe like, it was right before the pandemic. And, you know, obviously he's older, as you mentioned. So it wasn't the show it wasn't the Willie Nelson I would love to have seen. But he was still amazing, but he only did a short, his set was real short, and he could hardly sing, because I think he had I want to say he had pneumonia or something, but.
Oh, God.
I wish I had saw him back in the day, because.
I did see him back in the day, Timmy. I will also say this, if you look on YouTube. There's, you know, as everybody on this show knows, that I am a big Bruce
Master
Springsteen fan, Timmy.
Of the YouTube videos.
And if you look on YouTube, you will see
a
clip of Willie and Bruce playing a song together. This is when Bruce was doing his Pete Seeger sessions, and, you know, he got Willie up on stage. Mm-hmm. And Willie's got that old beat-up guitar that he still plays, and Bruce was kind of doing a little guitar solo, and Willie started picking on his guitar, you know, just doing a lot of picking and playing, and Bruce actually kind of smiled and laughed at Willie that he still could do all that stuff at that age, because Willie was just up there showing off, Timmy. So
can you imagine how much that guitar would be worth? If they ever, it was ever auctioned off, because doesn't he have like people sign like sign it like all the other performers?
Yeah, but then it falls off because the wood's falling off his guitar. So
yeah,
can we talk about this guy?
Yes,
let's talk about
Hank Williams. Yeah. Speaking of a legend, Hank Williams is the father of contemporary country music. Not sure if they did any DNA testing there, Brandy, but I'm just, you know, that's what he's been called, the father of contemporary country music. Although I like his version of country music better than the current, but that's a personal preference. He was a superstar, Brandy, by the age of 25, and he was dead at the age of 29. So, very in those 4 short years, he established the rules for all the country performers who followed him, and in the process, much of popular music. He recorded here in Cincinnati, didn't he, Chuck?
He actually did, yeah.
No, studio. There was like a studio downtown.
It's that right? In that building, still there, Timmy.
There's a little plaque down there. I think it's on like Elm Street or someplace. Regarded as one of the most significant and influential American singers and songwriters of the 20th century, Hank Williams recorded 35 singles, five of whom were released after his death, that would place in the top 10 of the Billboard Country and Western bestseller charts, including 11 that ranked number one. These hits include such songs as Your Cheatin' Heart.
Give me Your Cheatin' Heart, Timmy? Now that's just a classic. Hold on. Your devil heart will make you weep. You're crying, and try to sleep.
Actually, that doesn't sound too bad, Colonel.
The whole night through.
I think he's getting better, Brandon.
Your devil heart will tell on you.
You know what?
He, of course, we can't
go through the whole fucking library this way.
He's also known for the hit song "Hey, Good Looking Colonel."
And, you know, I'm gonna throw this out to because Brandy got serenaded by this song, and it's okay, looking. What's about cooking?
Wow.
Hey, wow. Hey, okay, looking. This is what her economics teacher sang to her. It's,
Oh, good.
What you got cooking? How about cooking something up to get a C?
Oh, my God.
That's good, girl. I like that. I always thought that song was about a man wanting a sandwich.
I don't believe that song was about checking out her culinary skills, Timmy. I think it was something more amorous. Primal. Yeah, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the hit "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry."
That lonesome whippoorwill. It sounds too blue to fly.
Okay.
The midnight train is whining low.
No.
I'm so lonesome I could cry.
I think Rolling Stones.
Did that bring a tear to your eye, devil?
Well, not for the reason you're hoping.
I think Rolling Stones magazine, I think they named that like the number one pop song of all time. That's the one, or the perfect song. This is not on our list, but I'm going to bring it out, Colonel, because I want to hear you. I want to hear how your version.
Fucking kidding me right now?
A little collage.
Well, Timmy, I did not hear you. Collage?
Collage.
I don't know that one as well, Timmy.
Well, you research that. Aww. Maybe we'll get back to it. Poor old Elijah, he never got a kiss. You know,
I do know it. Yeah, I do know it, but I didn't.
Elijah sounds like a
loser. You haven't rehearsed it as well as you rehearsed the other three.
Okay.
Well, Hank wrote a body of songs that became popular music, and his direct emotional lyrics and vocals became the standard for most popular performers. He lived a life as troubled and as reckless as depicted in many of his songs. Hiram King Williams. Now that's a name, Brandy. Hiram
I would have gone with
King,
Hank too.
I mean, they should have made his name King Hiram Williams because then they could call him King all the time. But then I guess Elvis would have been upset. I don't know. But he was born he was born in Mount Olive. I don't like olives, by the way. I just want to go on record of saying it. He was born in Mount Olive, Alabama, on September the 17th, 1923. Would his mother have been pregnant during the holidays, Colonel? Do some quick back of the envelope math for me.
Repeat that to me.
No.
He was born on September 17th, 1923. I just wanted to see if I wanted you to do the math to see if his mother was pregnant.
Oh, absolutely.
During the holiday.
She was full belly popping. Yeah.
She got pregnant. She got pregnant
she did.
During the holidays.
Yeah, that's what she got for Christmas. Santa Claus came
I bet she was all liquored up. I bet she was all liquored up.
Perfect.
Hank was the son of Jesse Lilybell.
What?
Lily and Alonzo Hubble, or Lon Williams, also known as Lon Williams.
And they got so Lily and Lon.
Lily, yeah, or Lilybell, whatever you, however you preferred it, Brandy.
I just said so. It's Lily and Lon.
Yeah, Jesse.
When did they get married?
Well, they got married on November 12th, 1916, right? A couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. And, you know, they had that. They should have waited, Colonel, because then you have that whole problem with whose family do you go celebrate Thanksgiving with?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you just avoid one family. You picked a bad family and you don't go there.
His father, Alonzo Williams, worked as an engineer for the railroads of the W.T. Smith Lumber Company. He was a lumberjack, Brandy.
Perfect.
And
or an engineer for the railroads.
Yeah. Well, he knew
not
a lot of
lumberjack.
He probably knew a lot of lumberjacks, and he didn't care.
He probably did. Okay.
He was drafted, Alonzo was, drafted during the First World War, and he served from July 1918 until June 1919. So almost a year, Brandy.
Yep.
Hank's father was severely injured after falling from a truck, breaking his collarbone, and suffering a severe blow to the noggin.
Hmm. A head injury.
You know, because so like when you're walking, you know how the mafia always says, you know, where'd you get that TV, flat screen TV?
And
they
say, fell off the truck.
Fell off the truck.
Fell off the truck. Yep.
Yeah. Same thing. Hank's father was severely injured after falling from the truck, breaking his collarbone and suffering a severe blow to the head, as I've mentioned previously. After his return, the family's first child, Irene, was born on August 8, 1922. Colonel, was Irene, was her mom pregnant during the holidays?
Who gives a shit?
You think Lilybell and Alonzo were doing the nasty?
He tied a bow around it and said, here you go. Here you go.
Another son of theirs died shortly after birth. I mean, his birth.
Right? Somebody's birth, yeah. His birth,
I would assume so, yeah.
The third child, Hiram, which of course is Hank, was born on September 17, 1923 in Mount Olive, as I previously mentioned. Since Alonzo Williams was a Mason and his wife was the member of the Order of the Eastern Star... Are you a Mason, Colonel?
I cannot tell you that, Timmy. Why would I join the Masons when I'm in the Illuminati, Timmy?
Well, yeah. It's redundant, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
The Masons are like the
anyway,
the minor leagues to us.
Well, anyway, his wife was a member of the Order of the Eastern Star, so the child was named Hiram the First. After Tyree.
Was named after Hiram the First.
Yeah, of Tyree, I guess. He was one of the three founders of the Masons. My dad was a Mason, but I never could understand what they actually did. But I always get them confused with the guys that drive around in the little motorcycles. But
the Shriners.
I get them confused with the Loyal Order of the Water Buffalo, Timmy.
The Shriners are the ones that have the little pets.
They got the cool hats and the cool little cars. Yeah.
They have monkeys.
Yeah, they're cool. Shriners are much cooler, I think. Anyway, but when he was born, they misspelled his name as Hiram, H-I-R-I-A-M. See, if you're going to name your son after somebody, you know, spell check the damn thing. That's all I'm saying, Brandy.
Okay, I'm duly noted.
Hank's father was, I mean, did you consult the Bible when you named Noah? to make sure you spelled it right?
No.
No. You
well, can't I throw believe stones she could have just ready. Done that one phonetically, but.
Yeah.
Hank's father was relocated by the lumber company railway for which he worked, and the family moved to many southern small towns. In 1930, when Hank was 7 years old, his father began suffering from facial paralysis. That does not sound... I mean, let me ask you a question, Brandy, since you're very knowledgeable in a lot of areas. Why was it that back in the day when you... Okay. She's very knowledgeable. Why was it people would never smile when they got their picture taken? If you see like a lot of old photos,
when it was alive during the Depression, why would they be happy? You know, Timmy, we live in Cincinnati in the east side and the west side, right? And me and my son Taylor were over in Hyde Park, and you know that area. And you see all kinds of middle-aged people jogging. And, you know, they have healthy restaurants.
Right.
And he's like, why do you think you see so many people jogging on the east side and none on the west side? And I said, you know why, Tara? Because they got something to live for over here. That's why people didn't smile during those pictures, Timmy. Because when that picture was done, they had to go out to the fields and do the back 40 with just a mule,
give birth.
Yeah, and then finish the other 20.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Remember, it used to take a long time to take a picture.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, who wants to hold a smile that long?
Well, if you're happy.
So,
well, that's true.
That's all I'm saying.
Colonel, my idea, so. I have a plan I wanted to share with you, Colonel. A new business opportunity.
I'm in.
Drive-through post-mortem photography.
Ooh.
You know, you just bring your dead relative up through the drive-through. I mean, it can be on passenger side, can be on the driver's side, I guess. But and then I just snap a photo of it and something you can share with your loved ones.
See, but then that takes away to me the problem with that is you're taking away people's ability to take selfies at the visitation with the corpse.
I wonder if anyone does that, like with selfie sticks.
No, I've seen I've seen people actually
yes,
take selfies
do.
Right. With themselves of the corpse.
It's gross. Hey, so what happened to Hank's dad?
Well, in 1930, when Hank was 7 years old, he was born in 23, so 7 years later would be 1930.
Good job. Good math. Sure.
As I said, his father began suffering from facial paralysis, which is not a laughing matter.
Good. I see what you did there. Very...
I do too. It was sad.
At the Veterans Hospital in Pensacola, Florida, doctors determined that the cause was a brain aneurysm, and Alonzo was sent to the VA Medical Center in Alexandria, Wisconsin.
Louisiana.
He is still waiting today to be seen, as I understand
right.
it.
Wisconsin. Where did you get fucking Wisconsin?
I said Louisiana, right?
No, you didn't. You said Wisconsin. It was hilarious. I loved it so much.
I have facial paralysis. Leave me alone.
I don't know. Or just maybe I have the same aneurysm.
He remained. It was in Alexandria, Louisiana. He remained hospitalized for 8 years, Brandy. Man, that's a long time to be hospitalized just because your face won't move.
Well, maybe you just don't want to go back home.
Right.
I mean, applying makeup would probably be easy, right? Because you're not twitching or anything.
He would.
Anyway.
Shaving would be hard, though.
He remained hospital.
Because you know how you got to move your face and puff out your cheeks and, you know, to get everything. So.
Yeah, and that facial paralysis is nothing to scoff at.
And yet you're scoffing.
He was there 8 years, Randy.
More would giggle.
Here we are.
More than scoffing.
I mean, can you see, like, you know, his physician coming in to break the news to him? Him and his, you know, like, Lily or whatever her name is, she's there. Hiram is there. And the doctor comes in. He's got his doctor's, you know, coat on, stethoscope.
Fuck.
And he looks at his little chart and says, "I'm afraid I got some bad news for you. He's got facial paralysis, and he's probably going to need to be in the hospital here for
what
8 years.
What kind of insurance did he have that they let him stay in the hospital for?
I think I'm assuming the VA, I don't know if the VA was around.
I mean, they yanked my gallbladder out and
sent
me.
That's where he went. He was at the VA. He was at the VA. Don't say you don't know if it was there. It's right there. You said it.
I question myself sometimes.
The fuck are you talking about?
I question myself sometimes.
Tim was fact-checking himself.
Jesus shit.
Oh, well, you distract me. You get me off track talking about face paralysis.
Okay, so he's hospitalized for 8 years.
Why would you be in the hospital for 8 years with facial...
Because he can't eat. If he can't eat or drink...
Oh, drinking would be funny to watch, though.
Well, no, you'd have to duct tape that one side of the mouth shut. And then just, eat or drink.
That's not funny at all, but I got an image in my head, Brandy. I can't help it.
Well, you know, when I imagine, though, when the doctor came in, Timmy?
It would be like giving someone, you know, like when you give someone a, those little glasses.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
That, you know...
Why?
The water... You know, the glasses that will leak.
Oh, the drinking glasses. Like little, they make dribble, you know, glasses. Dribble glasses.
Yeah. Dribble glass.
Well, you know, I imagine
you
when, the
like
doctor,
cats
when the doctor
the
came
fuck?
In and gave him the news, and then the wife came in, the doctor probably said to his wife, well, he took it well, because he didn't move. He was like, okay, just shook his head.
Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't smile.
You know, he just took it well.
If
you
say, you know,
head of the house.
Can you imagine what kind of poker player?
Brandy, you know what?
That would be. He should have been a poker player.
Brandy, do you know what Alonzo would do if you ask him to smile? Nothing.
He only had what? Oh no, the whole face was fucking, oh god, I only thought it was half his face. Oh, his whole face is paralyzed.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
I wonder how often he was surprised by anything. I bet you could never see it. Could keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
He could have been a poker player, a spy.
You need to shits.
He could have been the customer service manager at Home Depot. Just stare at you blankly when you bring your screen door back because it's broken and they promise to give you the glass and then they give you the screen, then they give you the glass.
Yes,
and then they
it's
give
a
you
saga.
It's the wrong size.
Yeah, it's a saga. Yeah. Feels like a saga.
That sounds weirdly specific, Colonel.
Yeah, it really does. So I would like to know who was the head of the house while...
Well, pretty much, I'm glad you asked that, because his mother was pretty much the head of the household throughout much of Hank's childhood, because his dad's in a hospital being treated for face paralysis. I just don't know what the hell they would do for him, but...
They've got to feed him and stuff.
Couldn't his wife
do that?
She should,
as they should
probably
today.
Probably not.
What if he wanted like a hamburger? Do you think she put it in his mouth and then put her hand under his chin and on his forehead, on his head, and then, you know.
Here's the thing. How would he tell her he wanted a hamburger?
Like,
is he going to sit there and go, you know, I got a taste for pizza today. You don't have a taste for shit.
Oh, poor Hank. Poor Alonzo.
So, all right, so
mother was head of household. He was 8 years old. Hank was 8 years old. When he was 8 years old, his mother gave Hank a guitar that would, of course, change the course of history in terms of music in this country and around the world. His musical education was provided by a local blues street singer named Rufus Payne, who was also called T-Tot. I don't know. Rufus Payne sounds like a cool name to me. I don't know if I'd go with T-Tot. Brandy, your thoughts on that, if any?
I like Rufus.
Yeah.
You like Rufus Payne?
I like anything with Payne in it, Timmy.
Well, from T-Tot, Rufus, Hank learned how to play the guitar and sing the blues. I like singing the blues, Brandy.
Yeah.
Which would come to provide a strong undercurrent in all of his songwriting. During this time, Hank informally changed his name to Hank from Hiram, good move, believing it was a better name for country music and just about anything else. I added that last part, Brandy. That was commentary. Hank began performing around the Georgiana and Greenville areas of Alabama. And of course, Georgiana and Greenville, I guess, was hotbeds of the entertainment industry. Probably still is down there in Alabama. I mean, what else you do, Brandon? I mean, besides, you know, beating up protesters or...
Wow.
I mean, there's not a whole lot else to do. Second dog.
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever been to Alabama, so I'm not going to disparage anybody.
I have been there
once. So, you know.
No, I'm just saying that's where he performed in his early teens. His mother moved from the family to Montgomery, Alabama. I've been there. Montgomery's a nice little town. It's not too bad. I was on a bus one time. I went down to see my cousin who lived in Tampa. And at the Greyhound bus depot, I bought a ticket, and they had me going from Portsmouth, which is like central, you know, southern Ohio and central part of the state,
right,
all the way to Nashville. So far west, and then back to Tampa. I mean, it took me like 3 days to get there.
Jesus.
But anyway, I'm guessing that the people at Greyhound are not very good at geography, you might guess. Or at least the person. Do they still have Greyhounds?
Yes. Chuck, have you been to Montgomery, Alabama in 1937? Of course, yeah.
He was down there. I tell you what, he marched in the Civil Rights movement, during the Civil Rights Movement. He marched down there.
Absolutely not.
Over the Evelyn.
That's some risky business to
whatever
do
that bridge is called. Yeah, because isn't that where Bull Connor was from, Colonel?
Are you talking about the Edmund Pettus Bridge?
Yeah, Edmund Pettus. Not Evelyn Pettus, who's someone wholly different. But the. That's a bridge, Brandy. But isn't Bull Connor the white sheriff down there? It was always sicking dogs on.
That was Bull Connor, yeah. And his German shepherds, yeah.
I think he was from Alabama.
All right.
And what's his name was from Alabama. The guy who got shot, Colonel, the presidential candidate?
George Wallace.
You know what I'm talking about. 1960, George Wallace, yeah. Yeah, he was from. So, you know, they weren't it wasn't a progressive place at the time. But in Montgomery, Hank formed a band called the Drifting Cowboys. And landed a regular spot on the local radio station, WSFA, number one in country music, in 1941. Ever listen to WSFA, Colonel?
Not anymore, Timmy. Not anymore. They've gotten too edgy for me, Timmy. Yeah.
You know, have you guys ever been down to like Gulf Shores? It's in Alabama. It's beautiful.
I've been there, but it's hot. To me, it's hot and sweaty.
I know, I've heard that.
I don't like hot and sweaty.
Yeah. During his shows, Hank would sing songs from his idol, Roy Acuff, as well as several other country hits of the day. The radio station, WSFA, dubbed him the Singing Kid, Randy. Maybe that's what we should start calling. I mean, we called Charles the Singing Colonel. I think that would be catchy.
No.
The Crooning Colonel, Timmy. The
and,
Crooning Colonel.
Crone. Oh, yeah. I like that. It's catchy. Rolls off the tongue, Brandy. You have to admit that.
Nope.
Hank stayed with the radio station for the rest of the decade, so he was there 9 years, this WSFA. Although he would become a prolific songwriter, a terrific and prolific, he never learned to read music. And for the rest of his life, or for the rest of his career, slash life, based his compositions in storytelling. So he drew from his own personal experience, and that's how he got material for his song. Now, you would think that many parents would be proud, Brandy, that their son was singing on the radio. But you know what? Yeah. His dad, when they told him that, he didn't even smile. Just saying.
Oh, that's really bad.
Hank's successful radio show fueled his entry into a music career. His salary was enough for him to start his own band, which he dubbed the Drifting Cowboys. You know, his son, Hank Williams Jr., had a band called Luke and the Drifters. So I wonder if that's where he, you know, he took that name from. Different name, but similar.
Sure.
I'm thinking here on the fly, Brandy. I'm just having original thoughts.
You're not doing great, so stop it.
The original members, I mean, if you had face paralysis, Colonel, how would you know if you were having a stroke?
Ooh, that's a good one, Timmy. You couldn't use
Think
fast.
About that.
You couldn't use the fast rules.
Right.
Oh, my God.
The original members were guitarist Braxton, this is of the Drifting Cowboys, Braxton Schuffert, a fiddler, Freddie Beach, and comedian Smith Hezzy Adair. Oh, I bet that Hezzy was a hoot, Randy.
It sounds like it.
James Jimmy Porter was the youngest member, being only 13 when he started playing the steel guitar for Hank Williams in the group. Arthur Whiting was also a guitarist for the Drifting Cowboys. Well, they just had a lot of cowboys come in that band and leave, I guess. That's why they're Drifting Cowboys, I guess. Hard to keep good help. Yeah. The band traveled throughout central and southern Alabama, performing in clubs and at private parties. James Ellis Gardner later played fiddle for him, and Lily Williams became the Drifting Cowboys' manager. They were about to hit the big time, and Brandy is going to tell us all about it.
Well, Hank dropped out of school in October 1939 so that the Drifting Cowboys could work full-time. Lily Williams began booking show dates, negotiating prices, and driving them to some of their shows. Now free to travel without Williams' schooling taking precedence, because the damn school always gets in the way.
Well, see, and that's why people say, stay in school, and sometimes it's better not to.
Sometimes it works out, and most of the time it doesn't.
If you were talented as Hank Williams, it works out.
Right. The band could tour as far away as western Georgia and into the Florida Panhandle. The band started to play in theaters before the start of the movies, and later they played in honky-tonks.
Forrest Gump was also amazing. From Alabama.
Forrest Gump?
Yeah, when he from, I think he was.
Where is Chuck? He's being
no,
super
I'm trying
quiet.
To give you your
so
room,
weird.
Devil. I'm trying to give you space to express
yourself.
He is
on the edge of his seat.
I am sitting on the edge of my seat.
Okay. So Williams' alcohol problem started during the tours.
During the podcast. I'm taking a Tubin break,
oh,
Devil.
God. No.
Tubing in the morning, so, tubing in the evening, tubing at supper time.
So Williams, his alcohol problem started on when he was on these tours.
Mine started while recording this show.
7 years ago. I feel like you did start a little earlier than that, but we digress.
We do digress.
Yeah.
That's something we're good at, digression.
So on occasion, though, he would spend an important part of the show's revenues on booze.
Now, see, that's a downward spiral, Brandy.
Meanwhile, between tour schedules, Williams returned to Montgomery to host his radio show. The American entry into World War II in 1941 marked the beginning of hard times for Williams.
I wonder if his dad could still give people the side eye.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it was eye paralysis, although that would make you an even better poker player.
It would.
Jesus. Let's see.
I just picture this poor little man in the wheelchair in the corner, making no facial expressions. Poor little guy.
Jesus. All right. So all of his band members were drafted to serve in the military, while he got a 4F deferment for the military draft after falling from a bull during a rodeo in Texas.
See, if you're bull riding and you get hurt, that's on you, you know?
Yeah, well.
They told his dad about it, but his
there's a chapter in my book about that, Timmy.
He didn't look surprised.
How to safely ride, in quotation marks, a bull.
Oh.
Do you have
a chapter on hot wives?
Girl?
You know, hot wives wears those ankle bracelets. That's how you can identify.
Yeah, and even the hotter wives got the toe rings. If you want to ratchet up the hot wife or not, you get the toe ring. And
That's why people need to buy his book, Brandy, because a lot of people don't know this.
Okay. Amazing. So, many of the replacements refused to continue playing in the band because of Williams' worsening alcoholism. He continued to show up for his radio show intoxicated, so in August of 1942, WSFA fired him for habitual drunkenness. Maybe that would be a much cooler reason to be fired than
mean to Chuck.
Picking on Chuck. Yeah. During one of his concerts, Williams met backstage his idol, Grand Ole Opry star Roy Acuff, who later warned him of the dangers of alcohol, saying, "You've got $1 million talent, son, but a 10-cent brain."
Wow. I'm sure that's a compliment, really.
Hank,
you know, if he said that to his dad wouldn't even
right.
You know, frowned. Just,
wow. Hank, I mean, met Audrey.
If you have, face paralysis keeps you pretty even keeled, I would think.
You would think that. Stop it. Hank Williams met Audrey Mae Shepherd, a farm girl from Banks, Alabama, in 1943, while he was playing a medicine show. A medicine show.
Yeah, that's where they have a show and they sell medicine.
Right. Snake oil shit. let's see. The following year, the couple married and moved into Lily's boarding house.
You can always tell, Brandy, whatever the adjective that is follows the noun, that'll kind of tell you what's about there. Go ahead.
So...
All right.
So that was just a quick explanation of the basic English language. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck you're yammering about.
I've mastered over the years.
Yeah, clearly. Okay, so they moved to Lily's boarding house. Audrey becomes Williams' manager just before the marriage. By 1946, Williams was a local celebrity, but he was unable to make much headway nationally. That year, Hank and Audrey visited Nashville with the intent of meeting songwriter music publisher Fred Rose, one of the heads of Acuff Rose Publishing. Rose liked Williams' songs and asked him to record two sessions for Sterling Records, which resulted in two singles. Both of the singles, Never Again in December of 1946 and Honky Tonkin' in February of 1947, were successful, and Williams signed a contract with MGM Records early in 1947. Rose then became the singer's manager and record producer. Anybody have any thoughts?
Well, my thought is, I wonder if he ever played with Loretta Lynn. Because I know, Brandy, how much your grandmother loved Loretta Lynn, and I was just thinking, I wonder if he ever played with her. Were they alive? I guess they were alive at the same time with me.
Yeah. So let me say this. If he did, my grandmother did not know about it because she liked Hank Williams.
Yeah,
had she known about it, if he ever played with Loretta Lynn, then yeah, you're right. It would have been over. She would have burnt his records and, you know.
She honored him after he died by doing a cover of Your Cheatin' Heart. That's why I was wondering that. This is according to Mr. Google.
Okay.
She's still alive.
So,
right?
Yeah, I think so. All right, so moving on over.
She had like 50
released
kids
later.
Or something.
Moving on over, released later in 1947. Became Hank's first single for MGM. It was an immediate hit and climbed into the country's top five. By the summer of 1948, he joined the Louisiana Hayride, appearing both on its tours and radio
programs.
Who else
was on the Louisiana Hayride?
Honky Tonkin'.
Loretta Lynn is 89 years old. Still with us.
Elvis made his debut on the Louisiana
Hayride. With her husband since 19.
Awesome.
Yeah, he did. Loretta Lynn has been married to the same guy since. Well, I guess he died. But they were married. He got married in 1948. He died in 1996.
Ugh.
That's a long time to be married to somebody. Just saying.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Okay, so Honky Tonkin' was released in 1948, followed by I'm Long Gone, Daddy. While neither song was as successful as Move It On Over, they were very popular, with the latter peaking in the top 10. Early in 1949, he recorded Lovesick Blues. Hank and Audrey had their first child, Randall Hank, in the spring of 1949.
That's Hank Williams Jr., right?
Okay.
I think Williams Jr.
Let's see. So,
a country boy will survive, Brandy.
Yes. Also in the spring, Hank assembled the most famous edition of the Drifting Cowboys, featuring guitarist Bob McNett, bassist Hillis Buttram, and fiddler Jerry Rivers, and steel guitarist Don Helms. Soon, he and the band were earning $1,000 per concert while selling out shows across the country. Williams had no fewer than seven hits in 1949 after the success of Lovesick Blues.
I really don't want to say any more on this, and I don't want to make fun of it anymore, but do you know one of those signs, early signs of face paralysis is drooling?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I would think so.
So you two better be very, very careful.
See, my face is still moving, but the slobber's coming out. I don't know what to do with.
Yeah,
like a Saint Bernard. Williams began recording a series of spiritual records under the name Luke the Drifter. Many of which he just recited rather than saying anything. Fearful that disc jockeys and jukebox operators would hesitate to accept these unusual recordings, Williams used his alias to avoid the marketability of his name. Although the real identity of Luke the Drifter was supposed to be anonymous, Williams often performed part of the material of the recordings on stage. Most of the material was written by Williams, in some cases with the help of Fred Rose and his son Wesley. Hank continued to rack up hits in 1951, beginning with the top 10 hit, Dear John, and its number one flip side, Dear Cold, Cold John. Heart.
I melt your Ooh, cold,
Colonel, a little cold, cold heart. Heart.
Go ahead.
Why can't you free?
Thank you.
My something. Doubtless
All right. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Williams also had begun to experience the fruits of crossover success, appearing on the Perry Cuomo show and joining a package tour that also featured Bob Hope, Jack Benny, and Minnie Pearl.
I love me some Minnie Pearl.
Well, you know, Pearl. Colonel, Perry Cuomo, Colonel, he got a lot of tail.
That was a big scandal because they found Perry and Bob Hope and Minnie Pearl in a menage a trois, Timmy.
Menage a trois. I think that's what the phrase
right
call
as
it.
They was. Right as they was Eiffel Tower and Minnie, somebody walked in.
I hate you guys. It's so gross.
Did Minnie Pearl have her little hat on with the price tag on it?
Well, she had some clamps on some certain body parts, and there was a price tag hanging on
it. Oh, no. Stop
you
it.
Know what she said when someone walked in on Colonel?
How did do that?
So, in addition, hold on. In addition to Dear John and Cold, Cold Heart, Williams had several other hits in 1951, including the number one song Hey Good Lookin' and Howlin' at the Moon, I Can't Help It If I'm Still in Love with You, Crazy
song.
Heart,
That's a great
Crazy
song.
Heart, Lonesome Whistle, and Baby, We're Really in Love, which charted in the top 10.
That was Howlin' at the Moon, Timmy.
Charles? Oh, I thought maybe he had a little face paralysis going on there.
So though his professional career was soaring, Hank's personal life was in the shitter. He'd suffered from a minor drinking problem before becoming a star, but it had been more or less out of control during the first.
However, when you get fired from a job for your drinking, that it's not a mild drinking problem. It's not just having a few beers here and there.
I think so. You know, but it's
a little bit.
Right.
Yeah,
it's an issue.
That was understated there.
Well, so, but as he began to earn larger and larger amounts of money and spend long times away from home, he became a full-on Nicolas Cage leaving Las Vegas drunk. Furthermore, Hank's marriage to Audrey was deteriorating. Shocker, shocker. Not only were they fighting, resulting in occasional separations, but Audrey was trying to create her own recording career without any success.
I'm guessing that never did take off, I'm guessing.
I guess. All right, Charles.
Well,
bring it home.
In the fall of 1951, Timmy, Hank was on a hunting trip in Tennessee. Well, he tripped and fell and shot his hunting partner in the face. And he reactivated a door.
Was he vice president?
Oh, well, okay, I made that part up. But he did reactivate a dormant back injury. So Hank began taking morphine and some other painkillers, as people with injuries are wont to do.
Percocet, Brandy. He's got
but he quickly became addicted, Timmy. Very quickly. And in January of 1952, Hank and Aubrey separated for a final time and headed back to Montgomery to live with his mother. He just said, I'm getting out of here. I want to go back to mama.
When they told his dad, Colonel, what did his dad do?
His dad really didn't react much. Nobody knew how his dad felt about it.
Yeah.
So, now the move had little effect on his music career. However, with Honky Tonk Blues peaking at number two in the spring. In fact, he released five additional singles in 1952, half as much jambalaya, setting the woods on fire, you win again, and I'll never get out of this world alive. All of which charted in the top 10, Timmy. Now, in spite of the success, Hank turned completely reckless in 1952, spending nearly all his waking hours drunk and taking drugs.
Well, like, yeah, my life.
He also frequently destroyed property and played with guns. So hold on.
That's a problem.
Spends his waking hours drunk and drugged and destroying property, playing with guns, which the devil calls Saturday night.
Right. It's Saturday.
Which, yeah, I would say, which now would get you elected to Congress.
So now we're in May 54, Timmy. Audrey and Hank are officially divorced, and she was awarded the house and a child, as well as half of his future royalties. Now, see, that's some bullshit right there.
Because
she should get half of the past ones.
How should
ones.
She get half of his future royalties?
But the future, he ain't married to her in the future, unless she's coming over and saying, here.
But he's drunk or fuck. He doesn't know what he's signing.
But I think in that divorce agreement, she
that
needs
woman. That woman
yes,
made out
did.
Like a bandit.
Who do you think drooled more, him or his dad?
I don't know. Depends. Yeah.
Oh, him.
So, see, I think that she needed to show up at the house 3 times a week in his house in an apron and say, here's your future, you know, marital obligations for my future royalties.
You don't know where you were going with that, do you?
No, I get what he's saying. He's saying that, you know, you're going to get paid. I'm going to get paid for your future revenue.
Yeah.
Based on your future revenue, then Chuck is saying that she has an obligation to.
He wrote a song that he got paid for, and then he's going to get paid for into the future. Now, they were married, and
she doesn't know that.
To her until he was drunk, then he was just grunting and rutting and fornicating. But anyway, that was all one time.
He's hitting it with a floppy at that point.
And you got to come and do it in the future. That's just as equitable in my view.
No.
Now, Hank continued to play a large number of concerts, but he was always drunk before the show. And sometimes he would miss the gig altogether, like George Jones.
You miss one gig, and all of a sudden
now
you're
in August,
drunk.
The Grand Ole Opry fired Hank for that very reason, explaining he could return once he dried out. Now, instead of heeding the Opry's warning, and really, if the Grand Ole Opry warns you, you should take it to heart. He just sank deeper into his self-destructive behavior. Soon his friends were leaving him, as the Drifting Cowboys began working with Price and Fred Rose, not to be confused with the serial killer we did, Fred Rose.
Fred and what was her name?
Fred Not Bitch is, I think, what we call her.
I'm gonna Google that.
No longer supported him. Now, Williams was still playing the Louisiana Hayride because they had lower standards, but he was performing with local pickup bands and began earning reduced wages. Now, that fall, he met Billie Jean Jones. And
one more.
Billie Jean Jones Eshlema. Now, she was really a groupie, and she was young at this time, and she liked to hang around with pop stars. And
It was Fred,
Fred
Rose
and Rose West. Okay.
The last thing one.
So anyway, Fred and Rose. So Fred Rose.
He wasn't a very attractive man. I mean, you know, well, she's not that hot herself.
Let's focus up.
So that fall, he meets Billie Jean Jones Eshlema, right? Who's a groupie, daughter of a Louisiana policeman. And strangely, she would show up later in the 80s when she was a groupie around Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson had to sing that song about, Billie Jean is not my love.
Oh, my God.
She's just a girl. I am no one.
You know, I think it's amazing that when he was alive, he would walk and the sidewalks would light up.
They would. I mean, you know what? It's kind of like, you know what's amazing
cool
to me? Is that I go to the grocery store, and they light up the little freezer compartment of the pizza rolls knowing that's where I'm going?
Yeah. Wow.
Everything, when I go to the grocery store, everything lights up as I go down that little freezer aisle. It's amazing. Makes me feel omnipotent to me. That's why I go there all the time.
Or does it maybe like they're watching or something? You know, like in, have you ever been to those fancy hotels and, you know, where they have the mini bar and you can just touch.
Yeah, and they charge you $34 for the peanuts. You can go in and take a candy bar. If you just touch them.
Yeah, well, but they know if you're taking something out without going into the room to check it out. They know. It's a little bit creepy, Brandy, wouldn't you say?
It's by weight, you dill hole. That's how they know.
Well, by October, Billie Jean
that's
was
not
married.
As impressive.
They were married. Now, Hank also signed an agreement to support the baby, who had yet to be delivered, of one of his other girlfriends, Bobby Jett, who's...
Why do they call it delivering a baby when the baby is already there? It's not like you're getting it from, like, a drone or something or Amazon. It's already in the woman's.
Well, I think it's delivered.
Here's the thing.
It's like a pizza in the oven. It's not really your pizza while it's in the oven.
The pizza comes out of the oven.
Yeah.
And then it's delivered to the
mother. We're right on the same page with that, though.
Do they give you, like, a like they do in Domino's when you order? Are you able to track it, like, when it's out of the oven?
Yeah.
Oh, you can track it. Oh, you can track it.
Do they do quality check after you have a kid?
They don't. They don't.
No, unfortunately.
No, it would be nice if you could track your kids like you could track your Domino's pizza. But unfortunately, you can't.
Well, they have those little LoJack things right after they're born.
They should.
So your kid can't walk off and join the circus or something.
So anyway, Hank's agreeing to support this baby.
Support Bobby Jett's baby.
From one of his other girlfriends, Bobby Jett, who strangely would have a daughter and have another daughter who would turn out to be, don't want to hear about my bad reputation, Joan Jett
of the of the Runaways.
That's not true, and
it makes for a good story, Randy. Don't
like our listeners are going to fact check
getting away.
So by the end of the year, Williams was having heart problems, and Toby Marshall, a con man doctor, was giving him various prescription drugs to help soothe the pain. Now, Hank was scheduled to go to Canton on January 1st, 1953, but he decided he'd rather die than go to Canton. So Hank scheduled a flight out of Knoxville, Tennessee on New Year's Eve.
I must say, I've been to Canton, and I can understand.
But the weather was so bad that he had to hire a chauffeur to drive him to Ohio in his new Cadillac. Before they left for Ohio, Hank was injected with two shots of vitamin B12 and morphine by the doctor. He got into the back seat of the Cadillac, allegedly with a bottle of whiskey, which I could believe, and the teenage chauffeur.
Did you know they used to inject? I'm reading this book on Ulysses S. Grant when he was, you know, right before he died. They would inject him with bourbon.
Mm-hmm. I think Devil's got a bourbon drip. A Bailey's drip, yeah. So anyway, the teenage chauffeur, and I don't know that in bad weather I would want to hire a teenager to drive my Cadillac, but, you know, Hank was not prone to good judgment. So they headed out for Canton.
But that's probably before, that's even before, like, the highway system.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to get on Bloody 11. When the driver was stopped for speeding, the policeman noticed Hank looked like a dead man. So he was taken to a West Virginia hospital and officially declared that he was weakened and burning him. He was driving around the dead man.
He died on his trip.
He got pulled over by a cop, and the cop said, that man looks like a dead man. So they took him to the hospital and confirmed that, in fact, he was a dead man. So he...
See, the chauffeur should have just said he's got face paralysis.
Body paralysis. So Hank had died in the back of the Cadillac on the way. Now, ironically, the last signal he released was, I'll never get out of this world alive. Now, Hank was buried in Montgomery, Alabama. 3 days later, his funeral...
That's what we call prophetic.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, Timmy. Now, here's an interesting side note. When they did his autopsy, When they did this autopsy, they found that his left arm had a break in it, and he had serious injuries to his groin from a fight that he'd gotten into a couple days prior. So, yeah, maybe he got kicked in the ball so hard he died. Now, Hank was buried in Montgomery, Alabama.
Or he was on painkillers. He probably didn't know.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Kids, opium and drinking.
Opiates bad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Says you.
I don't know if opiates are bad. I'm just saying they don't mix when you're taking alcohol.
Well, the funeral drew a record crowd. Now, I don't know what record. You know, maybe there was only 60 people at the previous ones. But
it's going to tell you.
But it was larger than any crowd since Jefferson Davis was inaugurated as president of the Confederacy in 1861. And dozens of country music stars attended, as did Audrey Williams, Billie Jean Jones, Bobby Jett, who happened to give birth to a daughter 3 days later. She was showing up all walking around like, oh, my baby daddy, oh, my baby daddy, throwing herself up on the casket. It was just a mess.
What was his dad's reaction, Colonel?
You know, his dad was just stone-faced, Timmy. His dad took the news right in stride. His expression didn't change. And then immediately, of course, I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive jumped to number one. And it was followed by a number of records throughout 53, including Your Cheating Heart, Coliga, and Take These Chains From My Heart, Timmy. And in 1961, Hank was the very first inductee to the Country Music Hall of Fame. Devil, I got a question for you, Devil. I want your opinion on something.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton, they're going to induct her into the country, or to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And she declined. She said, I really am not a rock and roll musician. And so I think it would be inappropriate. And they installed her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Anyway, do you think that was disrespectful
to Dolly? Against
her will. I think they should have just left her out. But then I think they need to change the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, if someone says, I mean, she was doing it because of the other artists, right? She didn't want to be recognized in a field that she really
there's so many musicians that are not true rock, you know, because you could make the argument that Motown's not rock and roll. You could make the argument that rap is not rock and roll.
Well, but I get that. But I mean, I think
they should just name it the Music Hall of Fame.
Say is, yeah,
but I think they should have grant.
But yeah. I mean, once it's declined, then you drop it, right? You know, saying no. It's like when someone tries to make you take the leftover salmon or whatever.
Here's the bigger thing: what Dolly Parton says, do.
That's my point. If Dolly says no, then it's a no.
I mean, it's
a hard no.
Yeah, it's Dolly fucking Parton, dude.
So
yeah.
But we're gonna honor you whether you like it or not. Yeah, I'm not.
And people do.
You know what's sad about Hank Williams? Because you know that last album of his, he had so many number one hits that we think all the songs we think about when we think of Hank Williams. And his wife's getting, you know, his wife, I guess, was collecting at all those years, right?
Oh yeah, she's sitting pretty.
If she's still alive.
All right, guys.
Well, Brandy, your final thoughts on the great Hank Williams.
Sounds like a lot of talent was just squandered.
29 years old. Yep. Colonel, so what's your final thoughts?
Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin, they all strive to emulate Keith Moon, Hank Williams, but they, you know what, they pulled the trigger a little too soon, metaphorically, not, you know, in Kurt Cobain's case, you know, realistically, but 2 years early, because 29 should be the year that you go out, Timmy, not 27.
Oh, the 29.
And here's another one for you, Devil. Speaking of Saturday nights, I thought of you when recently this week we lost Taylor Hawkins, the drummer for the Foo Fighters, and they said that they had found 10 substances in his system, benzos, tricyclic antidepressants, painkillers, alcohol, and I thought, he ain't as tough as the devil then. He just ain't as tough as the devil.
I mean, you gotta be really careful when you're taking opiates and benzoids because that's a deadly combination.
Well,
that's because that's most of the overdoses. It's mostly that, you know, when people overdose on over the counter stuff, it's a lot of times it's the mix of, you know, Xanax.
Well, one of the things that I have, in my vast experience, have learned in my life is if you had a whole bottle of Xanax benzos by themselves, they are almost impossible to overdose on, Timmy. Did you know that?
Yeah,
but if you mix them with anything else, they become extremely deadly. So the more you know, listeners, the more you know. Not that I'm going to change anybody's behavior because our listeners are, you know, reckless to me. They're reckless.
Well, we don't have that many listeners.
Okay, you better let the devil off here before she gets turned, before it takes a turn for the ugly.
All right, Colonel, you wanna give a shout out to all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
Let's start with Liz Lawrence, our Louisiana, New Orleans fan, Kim Purple and Baby Sam, Stevie Smiles, Emily, Alan Cox, Aaron Kunkamola, Rachel Goss, Anna Kaufman, Shelby Pelegi, Robert Benefield, Gina Green, Andrea Louise Sedones, Tessie Alacron Poor, Buffy, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Knight, The Already Gone Podcast with Nina, Amber Anderson, Ben Dobrovich, Bridget Bernard, Cassie Kitchens, Callie Jones, Christy Lee at Canadian True Crime Show, Asplin, Cheryl LeBlanc, Clark and Diane Tobridge, Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Marsha Borsch, Jake Cleveland Payne, Jamie Dent, Iroh, Jason Dykes, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Jennifer Orcutt, Jennifer Savoda, Jess, Kelly Shrek, Kim Stroop, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Marsha Boris, Marie, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Michelle Johns, Paula Kimes, Sarah Bloom, Sue Van Hook, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp. Shirley, we haven't heard from you in a while. We hope you're doing very, very well. We're always thinking about you. Terry Stratford, They Walk Among Us podcast. Benjamin just had his 40th birthday this week, so we wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben.
You know, I feel bad for Ben, 40 years old and a beautiful wife and tall, dark, handsome, and successful. So, you know, hopefully he takes it in stride. Tyrone,
He's kind of the mirror image.
As I said, he is basically the next 007. So, Todd Long, Tommy Lane, and Tracy Smith, and that wraps this episode up of Hank Williams.
Yes, and if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me, just a wee little bit.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweeb.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.